This is Blue July, and you're listening to the Be Someone podcast. Lights looking bright, the H got the vibe. She's my name on the signs, it's my time to shine. When I was cruising 45 and it crossed my mind that I shine like the sun and that I'll be someone.
Lights, camera, session, use the flow molasses. Blue July, my fashion, future bright and glasses. Applause from the masses.
This is the Be Someone podcast.
Hey everybody, this is the coach Chris Ortiz inviting you to check out my website, coachortiz.com. On the website, you'll find my newest book, Drive Slow, which is a love story to our great city, Houston, Texas, and then also a dedication piece to my recently deceased father, Ruben Ortiz. But you could also find the other episodes of the podcast and then other books that I have released or will be releasing. So y'all take care, have a blessed day, and go out and be that someone. Hey guys, this is the Coach Ortiz at the Be Someone podcast, and today we got a couple of special guests. I got some real good friends of mine. They're both coaches, highly respected in the area. Got Mr. Kenneth Petey Hepburn, a gentleman that I played rugby with in college, and now he's doing big things over here in Cyfair ISD. And then I got my man, Conway Waddy, Body by Waddy, a friend that I grew up with over at Klein Forest, and he's real big in the area of physical strength and development, and he's coaching, you know, various sports over here too. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
What about you?
Doing good.
All right, man. Well, we're going to hop right into it. Conway, I'm going to start with you, my man. Tell me a little bit about, you know, your background. You know, where'd you grow up? What was your parenting situation?
I grew up in the Klein area. I went to, like I said, Klein Forest. And I grew up with my mom. My mom raised me and my older brother.
All right, man. You, who is this? Is this Shannon?
Yeah, this is Shannon.
They sure, man. All right, what about you, Petey?
Similar, man. I grew up over in Stafford, outside of Missouri City, Sugar Land area. And just me and my mom. They're from, my whole family's from Jamaica. I'm the only natural born citizen. Everybody's naturalized. I was born here. And she just raised me. I'm the only child.
My man. All right, well, tell me a little bit about your parents. We'll start back over here with you, Conway. What traits did you inherit from your parents?
One of the things that traits I got from my mom is to always be on time. And on time, if you're supposed to be somewhere at 7, she always had us there by 6.
Yeah.
And I was always the only kid sitting on the practice field because we were always an hour ahead. And one of the other things she taught me is I represent her every time I go out. So if I dress sloppy or act crazy is a reflection of her. So she always really impressed, hey, you're representing me when you go out in public or anything that you do.
Man, good job, mom. Good job,
you
mom.
Sure, you sure that's not my mom? That sounds just like my mom, man. Same thing. You were chuckling and said to be on time. It's something that he and I know. To be early is to be on time. To be on time is to be late. To be late is unacceptable. To be on time, to always show up dressed for whatever occasion it may be, and to be presenting yourself well, because wherever you look is a reflection of her. And my mom always said, you will not go out of this house looking a mess, because you never know who you're gonna run into. That, and to always work hard. One of the things my mom told me a long time ago, and it's always stuck with me, and I tell this to a lot of my athletes, there's always somebody out there working harder than you. So
he's got to
work hard.
All right, man. Well, excellent advice. So, you know, again, like I'm going to keep reiterating, y'all's mom did a hell of a job, man. Neither of y'all look sloppy, and y'all are always early. athletic background. I'm going to start over here with you, Petey. Both of y'all are accomplished athletes and have done a lot in the world of athletics. Give us a little background into your, you know, athletic journey, just some things that you've done.
Played high school football. Was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to find rugby in college. Found rugby in college, got the opportunity to play with you. Went from there to play with the United States under-19 team at the tender age of 18, 19, and then played overseas in New Zealand, and then got to play for the Jamaican national team as well. In my 20s, and then up to 3 years ago.
3 years ago?
Yeah. Played for the Houston Sabercats professional rugby team. And I've been very blessed and fortunate enough to have traveled the world playing the sport that I love.
Yeah, man, and you also got a try, you know, an international
try,
right?
I did, yeah. Man. That was a big deal, man. Big deal for me.
If I'm being honest, man, so it looks like you can go out there and play today, man. So
yeah, tell that to my knees.
What about you, Conway?
I played all sports in high school, and I took a little different journey. I had a son at a young age, so I had to come back home and to work. But I ended up catching on with a semi-pro football team. And from there, I got picked up to play arena football. And so I played arena football for 3 years. And then once I realized, all right, I'm done playing, that's when I hung them up.
Yeah, man, well, I'm going to say the same thing I said about my man Petey. It sure as hell looks like you can still go out there and play, man. I've seen videos of you hitting like these 500-600-pound squats, man. And good Lord, man, I only dream about those numbers. Coming back to you, Petey, tell me what sport brought you the most joy and why?
That would be rugby. For me, I'm a very very family-oriented, camaraderie-sense kind of person, and rugby brings me that. I found friends for life in the sport that I love. Now, it took two practices for me to make friends that I still have to this day, clearly sitting here next to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, when there's 15 guys on the pitch at once and all 15 of us are working towards a common goal, working together in sync at the same time, that brings me joy. Knowing that I'm going to put my hands on that ball and then 2 seconds later, I'm going to hand it off to a guy that's way faster than me, but knowing that when he gets in trouble, I have his back, you know, the two phases later, that's huge for me.
Yeah, man, I have to agree with you. What about you, Conway?
I'm going to say football as well. Football was an escape. It was an escape for me from just the everyday what goes on in life. You could get out there and just do what you're good at, and which was for me was hitting people. So I wanted to tackle people and I wanted to hit them. So that was my stress reliever and just a getaway.
Oh, yeah. Being able to escape is huge. And I think for a lot of successful athletes, I think that escapism, you know, it's definitely up there, you know. Mm-hmm. What are some life lessons that you picked up off of football? What did football teach you?
Football taught me is keep your circle small. And that's one of the things that I take from it and I still hold true to at my age now is keep my circle small. You know, because you only can have people around you that you can trust. And it also taught me that you have to watch what you're doing because somebody is always either looking at you or looking up to you. And that's one of the things that I learned as playing football is as I played years and years going on, I started realizing people looked up to me. And it might be just a small kid in the stands will never come up and say something to me. But just how I carry myself and act, he could be one to take that and emulate that in his way.
Man, and I particularly like that because I think that that holds true at all phases of sport. You could be the junior that's on varsity, and then you got freshmen watching you ride, or you got the 7th and 8th graders that come to watch the high school game. You could be in college and have a high schooler watching you and all the way, you know, so on and so forth. So, yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. What about you, Petey?
For me, rugby taught me to be mentally tough. Growing up, you know, you can encounter different scenarios that require you to, you know, test your fortitude in different aspects, physical, mental. But for me, rugby taught me mentally tough. There's a certain time, I don't know if you recall this, we had a practice, and our coach, Johnny Smith, lined us up, and he said, we got to tackle. And I played offense my whole high school career. I was a center. Right, and here I am playing rugby, and I never really truly been taught how to tackle. And so he said, "All right, we got to tackle." And it came to me my turn. I got smoked, not a tackle. Right?
You remember who smoked you?
Yeah.
Who was it?
It's Cornell. Cornell Swain. Shout out to Cornell.
Yeah.
Cornell Swain. And then He said, all right, do it again. And then D-Walk was up, Dennis Walker.
God damn, that gets worse.
It got worse. D-Walk hit me, and to this day, I still remember how he hit me. It was the worst feeling I ever had. And then Johnny stood me up. He said, look, you are a large boy, and you can do this. But you have to believe that you can do it. You got to be tough. You're physically tough, but you got to be mentally tough. And he lined up the whole team, and I couldn't stop tackling until I tackled every person on that team. And we did that for about 30 minutes. And I was tired, I was beat. And he said, all right, you've tackled every person out here, now you just gotta tackle me. And so the coach lined up. And he ran at me and I tackled him. And to that day, that lesson stands true for me for a lot of things. It's like you have to believe that you can do it and you have to be mentally tough. Even when you don't think you can, you can. And when your body's tired and when you don't think you can do it, your brain's tired, just trust and it will happen.
Just a quick question. Was it easier tackling Johnny Pig Smith than it was Dennis Walker?
Yes.
Johnny ain't juking nobody.
No, there's no stiff arm coming at your face either.
All right, man. Well, we're actually going to get into the coaching aspect because that's why I got y'all in here. You know, you're highly respected coaches and you're good at what you do. Conway, what sports do you coach and where are you coaching at?
Currently, what sports I coach is football and baseball at Cypress Christian.
All right. What about you, Petey?
I currently coach football and basketball at Anthony Middle School.
All right. And both of these are in the Cy-Fair area, right?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. What is your coaching philosophy?
Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Man. All right. What about you, Petey?
Pretty much the same, man.
All right. So it sounds like y'all are cut from like the same mold, you know, chiseled from the same rock. What brings you the most joy when coaching?
Just seeing the expression on kids' face when they accomplish something they wanted to accomplish.
That's exactly right. So just seeing the development of the kid. You know, they've been working hard, you know, to get a route that they couldn't run, and they run it, and they snag the ball. The joy in their face, that's huge.
Yeah, man, and judging by y'all's response, y'all definitely get it. You know, a lot of people do it for the wins and the losses and the stats, and I did this and I did that, or I sent this kid this place, or I sent that kid that place. That is why we do it. I'm going to have to agree with y'all there, man, and I love it. What holes do you see in youth sports, and how can they be fixed? What are some problems that you currently see in the system? Y'all can get on a soapbox real quick, man.
That's a big one.
Parents holding their kids accountable for their work ethic.
Explain.
As in, I'm going to explain.
As nicely as possible
is... If your kid doesn't put any work in at home, obviously, you know, when he goes to practice, he's probably not going to put in work there. So when it's game day, don't expect your kid just to come out here and supposed to shine and get all the carries, all the passes, all the whatever. You know your kid. If your kid hasn't put in work, don't have other expectations and then want to blame the coaches because your kid didn't get the playing time that you think your kid deserved, even though you know your kid didn't put in work.
And that, for me, that comes from pigeonholing your kid from a very young age. So, for example, if I know that my daughter likes soccer, right? Like, you know what? I'm going to get her soccer trainer, and she's five. I'm going to get her soccer trainer. I'm going to get her the best ball out there. I'm going to get her the best shoes. I'm going to do this, and that, and the other. So you've now pigeonholed your kid, and now you're putting your kid in soccer camps. You're putting your kid in the best soccer league that out there, and then by the time your kid gets to the point where they can truly enjoy it, they're burnt out and they don't want to put in the effort.
Yes.
All right. So hey, I want you to continue it on that burnout. That's mm-hmm. huge, man. Yeah. I see kids at the junior high that are super excited about playing. They're super successful. They're having a good time. But then oftentimes they get to the high school mm-hmm. and I show up to a game and I'm like, man, where's that kid at, man? They were a stud.
Don't play anymore.
They burned out. Mm-hmm. You know, go into burnout a little bit and then I'm going to ask you about that.
So from my experience, like you said, you have a lot of junior high kids that are excited. And I'm seeing it more now. A lot of the junior high kids, they're great athletes and they have the ability to excel at the next level, whether at high school and then go from high school to college. But their want to put in the extra effort. I have a saying, champions do extra. Their want to put in an extra effort to learn how to be better at a certain position that they're good at is fleeting because of, you know, well, my dad has me in 7-on-7. My dad has me going to a personal trainer. I'm playing spring ball. I'm playing summer ball. And then when fall ball comes around, you know, I'm kind of beat up, kind of doing all this. And by the time they get to high school and they're a freshman, they've gone all the way through freshman football, and then they'll get to 7-on-7 where they have spring ball that they're playing outside of school. You know, by the time they're junior year, they're beat up, they're hurt, they don't want to learn the plays, they think they know everything already. And so they're not, their knowledge of the game, though they've been playing as athletes since they're the age of 11 or 7, mind you, and they're now 16 years old, they think that they know more than the coaches, and therefore they don't want to listen. That's one problem. And the second problem is they don't think that they have to put in the work at practice. So therefore, they'll show up to practice lackadaisical, half-hearted effort in the drills, and then that bleeds into the game. So they'll run their route sloppy. They won't make their blocks, right? They'll go into a hole real slow, and then they get blown up, and then they'll blame somebody else when it was actually that their problem. And so that burnout is not only in their desire to play the sport, it's in everything that they do. And so that's the problem I see personally. Yeah.
Physical, mental, emotional.
They think they know everything, and they're burnout on trying to better themselves because they've been forced to do it for so long. Where I'm from the mindset of find the sport that you love and why you want to do it, and then find your passion to be better at that sport. Do it because you want to do it. Don't do it because your dad's making you do it, your mom's making you do it, right? A lot of the, for example, Steph Curry. Steph Curry's not sitting in the court after practice shooting 100 three-pointers because his dad made him do it a long time ago. He's doing it because that's the way he's going to get better, because he wants to get better. And he's been doing that for a long time.
Yep.
Since college, before college, because he found the sport that he loved and he wanted to be the best at it. So he found his drive to do that.
And it's internal. It's not external.
There's no extrinsic motivation.
Yep. What about you, my man Conway? Burnout.
To me, a lot of these sports are turning into year-round sports.
Yes.
And
preach.
And there's no downtime. There's no downtime to, hey, take your mind off of that sport and maybe go play another sport. Be an athlete. Mm-hmm. I'm real big on athletes. And my definition of an athlete is an athlete that can go out there and play a lot of sports. Might not be great at all of them, but can play a lot of them. That way, it's always refreshing when you're not doing something for a couple months and then go back to it. It's refreshing. You get your drive back. That's what trying to keep these kids from getting burnt out. Instead of playing, hey, I'm going to play baseball in the fall, the spring, the summer. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to play in the fall again. And it just gets monotonous where they're like, oh, my God, I got to do this again. Especially if they run into a roadblock where they're not being successful.
Yes.
And then that's when it just piles on, piles on, piles on. And then that's when the burnout sets in.
Man, hey, we're reading the fruit off the same tree, man. I mean, but these are all facts, man. These are all facts.
Multi-sport athletes, man. That's a huge deal.
Well, let's get into that more, because I was going to ask about that later, but we're here.
No, but to echo off what he's saying, multi-sport athletes, you know, they're some of your best athletes. Take, for example, Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes, I know for a fact, was a fantastic high school baseball player, right? And he could have gone to college to play baseball or gets drafted to go minors. It's like he's saying, to be successful, every athlete takes a break. We don't have the off season for no reason,
right?
You can't consistently do the same thing and expect to be better without taking a break and realizing, all right, I need to work on this X, Y, and Z, and then go back to it, right? And being a multi-sport athlete, being a football player, basketball player, baseball, track, whatever, it's proven that doing those things will make you better, because each one of those sports helps you. Baseball helps on your eye-hand coordination and your reaction time. Basketball helps on your footwork. Track works on your explosiveness. And all those things bleed into the other sports. So why wouldn't you want to be good or decent at all those other sports to be better at the sport that you love?
Facts, man. Facts, man.
And to go off of what he's telling you about playing multiple sports, a lot of colleges ask in recruiting, they ask, hey, what sports do you play? And when you go and you go ramble off three different sports, that impresses them more. I actually have one of my kids that was one of the first questions they asked him at a Big 12 school when we went on a recruiting trip, the first thing they asked me was, hey, what all sports you play? Oh, I run track, I play basketball, and I play football. Really? And they start asking questions about his other sports, as in track and basketball, before they even got to football. And they want to know what kind of athlete they are. Even in some of their films, they was like, they want to see some of your highlights of, for him, for example, is him dunking a basketball, him jumping. Not about him catching a football. They want to see what kind of athlete, just overall all athlete he was.
Yeah, man, just to piggyback on, you know, this conversation we're having, overuse injuries. There's a dramatic, you know, decrease in overuse injuries when we play multiple sports. Yeah. If I'm a volleyball player, you know, from all the same jumping and, you know, and spiking and serving, I may have shoulder and knee, you know, issues. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's totally healthy to go and do something differently, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm sure football has certain, you know, like repetitive use injuries.
Yeah.
So, man, that was perfect, man.
And then to one more thing, for a multi-sport athlete, and I'm sure you'll agree, to take an athlete on a recruiting trip and then ask, you know, what sports do you play, and you rattle off a list, that tells you a lot about the athlete's character as well. Yes. You know, their ability to go from one sport to the next and to be a team player on multiple levels. That says a lot about a character, because that's another thing that, you know, I know that high school coaches ask me when they have, that we have a standout athlete, they say, well, what kind of athlete is he? And what, you know, what are the sports does he play? You tell them, and then, well, what kind of athlete is he? That the character of an athlete is huge to carry over.
Yeah, man, that's a perfect segue. The next question is this: sports, does it reveal character or does it build character?
Both. He just said it. It does both.
Explain, man. That's too easy to say. It does both.
It does both by building character, because number one is you have to know how to win, and you also got to know how to lose. Not saying you have to accept losing, but you also have to know how to lose. When you lose, take it on the chin. Figure out what you as a team, you and your team, what y'all do wrong? What do you need to do to get better? And some people shut down. Some people want to blame other people. But it also, it'll teach you. And even with just learning how to accept a challenge.
Yep.
Because, and so that, to me, that's how it does both of them.
And what about you, Peter?
No, I mean, I totally agree. You know, it reveals your character, because for me, at the middle school level, I get these athletes and you put them through those challenges, you know, and it reveals a lot about them, whether they can accept the challenge or whether they're going to feel defeated and what I call turtle head, and they're going to go back into the shell and they don't really want to come out because it's comfortable in there, yeah. Right? But, and what you have to do, I mean, our job as coaches is to build on that character, get them out of that shell, and show them that these challenges are meant to be accepted and beaten, and break all those things that are keeping you in going in that turtle shell. Right? So it does both. It reveals what the character of that athlete is and what he or she may have to work on, and, you know, the things that sports put them through to build onto that character and become a better person, not just a better athlete.
Agreed. How important is body language to you when working with young people?
Very important.
Man, you should have seen them eyebrows shoot up. I wish I had a video camera there.
It's very important, because that's going to tell me if he's accepting my challenge, or is he not even caring, or he's defeated. So if he's sulking by moping, dragging his feet, walking from, if we have station to station, that tells me he's either defeated or he doesn't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's upbeat, his chest is up, he or she's chest is up, and they're looking you right in the eye, that's telling you that they're accepting that challenge. They want more. They want to get better. They want to push through. So body language is huge, and when working with kids.
Yeah, they'll tell you a hell of a lot more than what their mouth will say, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they can rattle off yes, sir, no, sir, and then they'll be moping around.
Yeah.
Like, for example, if I'm jumping you, because you ran your route wrong, or you blew your coverage, and you just, man, and I'm trying to talk to you, and you're not even looking me in the eye, I know for a fact that you need to go sit down. Because yes. I'm not dealing with it, because you shut off, mm-hmm. right? And conversely, if I'm jumping you, and if you're looking me directly in the eye, and you're nodding your head, And you say, yes, sir, I understand, yes, sir. And you're taking that criticism, that shows me that you're processing what's going on, and you're going to internalize that, and you're going to go out there and correct it.
Yep.
But I don't know that if you're, like he's saying, rolling your eyes, and you're showing me that you're moping and you've shut down. Another thing about character, right? You're showing me that that's something that you need to work on. You don't want to accept the challenge. You can't accept criticism. You think that it's somebody else's fault, and you're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, total agreement too. And I've picked kids because of their body language, you know, to run with me on my teams. And I've also let go of some kids that are pretty good athletes, equally, you know, because of body language, because it could also be very infectious.
It is.
It could be very positive, you know, and bring a team together. Or like you just said, it could be cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, so here's a good question. I got three different attributes. I want you to put them in order of importance to you. I got attitude, I got skill, and then I got like physical qualities. Which one goes first?
That's number. Attitude is first. Attitude is first, and I'm gonna say skill, and then physical.
All right, why? Why that order?
Because attitude number one is attitude reflects being coachable. If you are not coachable, and you have a bad attitude, that's not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah, so it's a starting point. Like, everything else is going to fail if that attitude ain't right.
Correct. That's your foundation. That's the foundation of you building the house. Now, skills. I say skills is second because I believe I can take a kid, just like my philosophy, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. So I can get a kid that's skilled, that wants to learn, has this foundation, and put him against a physical freak. And I can still beat that physical freak because he might not be skilled. He might be as large and tall as all get out. But if he doesn't have the skills and the fundamentals of whatever sport we're in, he's not going to win. I'm going to take that skilled person that took the time to build his foundation of his fundamentals in basketball, football, baseball, whatever it is. I'm going to take that. I'm looking at that first. Because at the end of the day, you can also, I mean, physically it can only get you so much, because you're either gifted being tall or you're gifted being big.
Yeah, with the proper attitude also, like, you can work on getting stronger. You can work on getting bigger. So it's not set in stone. So I like that. I like that. What about you, my man?
I agree fully with what he said. Attitude is first and foremost. Attitude is going to make your athletic career either great or it's going to make it very short. You having a great attitude will help you develop the skill, right? Help you develop the skill. Like you said, either you're gifted being very tall, fast, big, what have you. But if you have the right attitude, you can develop that skill to accent and help your physical abilities. You know, for example, if you have a corner that, you know, a little bit undersized, right? Maybe he's 5'2", going up against a 6-foot receiver. And that 6-foot receiver runs a 4.3 40, and your corner is short, and he runs, you know, a 4.4, right? But he's skilled. He knows what he's doing. I'm going to take the skilled corner to beat that receiver any day of the week because he knows what he's doing, right? And the attitude factor of it, going back to what I said earlier, if I can coach you up, I'm going to take you all day.
Yeah.
And I don't want the kid that's a physical freak that doesn't want me to say anything to him just because he's big and bad. I want the kid that's going to work hard 7 days out of seven.
Yeah, agreed. Here's another one, and I think we hit on it earlier, but I want to go back to it. What advice do you got for parents, you know, moving forward? How can they, what can they do to help their kids as far as like an attitude standpoint, just in general? What can parents do? Because I kind of feel like
let them be kids.
Yeah, I think pulling back for me would be my answer. Like, you know, get off the helicopter and, you know, kind of let your kids be themselves. But what advice do you have for parents?
Let your kids be kids. If it's a cause for concern, you see something that a coach is doing that's a cause for concern, then speak up, you know. But let them figure it out, because that's part of being an athlete and part of developing their character. They have to be able to come across those challenges and those adversities that they're going to have as athletes. Let them figure it out. Don't think that you as a parent know everything about the sport and have to correct everything your child does, because if they can't learn to correct it on their own, being coached, then how are they going to go out when you're not there later on? And it's just, it's something that I see that is a constant thing year in, year out. You have the parent that's on the sideline that's yelling at their athlete while the coach is trying to talk to them, right? And that you can't have. That's mixed messages to the kid. Who am I supposed to listen to? Who's more important? Let your kid be a kid. Let your athlete be an athlete. And let them enjoy the sport. Because when you do that, you're taking away a lot of that enjoyment, a lot of the burnout that we talked about before. You know, it's let them have their own experience. Don't try to put your experience through them. Don't live vicariously through your kid.
Yeah, man. And what is your stance on that loud parent? Like, what is it that you personally do whenever you got a rambunctious loud parent that is splitting the attention?
I usually, during the game, I cannot take my attention away from my team. But maybe after the game or at a different point, I'll have a conversation with the parent. I said, hey, if you have anything that you'd like for me to talk to you about, let's set up a meeting and we can have a conversation. If the parent is very vocal and disrupting my my game, I might have that parent removed just to let them know that this is not your team, number one. Number two, let your kid be a kid, right? And we'll have a conversation, you know, parent to coach after that. It's something that I think we as coaches run across a lot, and we have to have just a firm stance on it. You know, if you have a rambunctious, very loud, vocal parent, which there's a lot of them, you have to be able to set that tone of, okay, not gonna happen, right? This is my team, this is my program, and if you don't agree with it, let's have a conversation at another time. Send me an email, let's have a phone call, let's do something, set up a meeting so we can come to some sort of agreement on what needs to happen going forward.
All right, what about you, Conway?
I mean, just pick up back what he said what he said was great is, I mean, that's really what it needs to be is, mine is just setting up expectations with the parents, making sure I have that open dialogue with those parents before my season starts. Mm-hmm. That way they can get a feel for the way I coach and the way I treat their kids. That way when we get into our game situations, they can entrust that, you know what, he set up the expectations with him. We've talked to him. So we know what he's doing on the field. So we're going to let him do. And at the current school that I'm at right now, that's one of the things that we do a lot of before season talks is set up expectations with the parents. And I'm lucky enough to go to a private school where there's not as many parents that I can actually reach out and talk to a lot of these parents. So they understand the expectations that I have for their kids and the expectations I have for them to help us work with their kid.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
We have parent meetings before every season, football, basketball, track, whatever. We have parent meetings, and like you say, setting the expectations is huge. I'm at a public school, so the amount of parents I have might be a little larger, but still you have to be able to set that expectation of, you know, you might not agree with everything that I do, and that's completely fine. And then we can have an open dialogue, as you said, to come talk to me at an appropriate time. But, you know, you set the expectation. We call it game day the right way. You know, you want your child to be able to see how to behave in a game setting, and so you have to lead by example.
Yeah, and something that I've also noticed, I heard college coaches are actually looking in the stands now, looking at how parents are reacting and behaving. And it's a good indicator of, you know, what kind of athlete they're going to get, you know. So, parents, just keep in mind, like, if a scholarship is what you're trying to get for your kid, you may want to chill out in the stands because you could be the one that's being watched. And if your kid doesn't get offered a scholarship, it may be you that has messed up that situation for them. So, you know, just let your kids go out there and make mistakes. Sports is a perfectly safe spot to screw up. It's probably the safest spot to screw up. Let them screw up, man. We'll take care of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you hang up your clipboard and whistle, what do you hope that your players and parents have to say about you?
Oh, man. Mine, by the time I hang it up for the day or whatever I have going on, I just want the parents and the kids to come out and be like, you know what? Coach really cares about me. At the end of the day, coach cares about me. Not just as an athlete, but he cares about me as a person.
All right, man. So you ain't worried about wins and losses. I mean, of course you want to win.
Don't get me wrong. I do want to win. But at the same time, I want them to feel good about whatever they wanted to achieve. Now, if I have an athlete that wants to achieve going to the next level, I want to make sure he does that. If I got a kid that just wanted to be on the team just to be around his friends because he didn't have that team family camaraderie, then I want him to achieve that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I just want them to feel good about what they worked hard for.
All right. What about you, Kenneth?
Same. You know, for me, when you hang up the clipboard, I just want parents and my student athletes to be able to say, Coach cared. Coach cared about me as a person, whether or not I was going to be successful in the classroom or on the field or on the court, or whatever. You know, I want to be able, because I'm sure you've had this happen before, I want a kid to be able to go to college and come back and still be able to have that conversation with me like he never left.
Yeah.
Because he respects me and appreciates things that I've instilled in him from a younger age.
Yeah, you know what? And to this day, I've never had a kid that came back and said, Coach, you drew up some badass plays.
No.
You know, they it's always like, hey, man, I appreciate the way that you treated me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, we know that you loved us and whatnot, but I've never had a kid come back and say, you know what, that inbounds play you ran? Fire. I never heard that, man.
The guy that actually gave me my first coaching job at Arnold, his name was Russell Sims. He said, players will never remember the plays you draw up, but they'll remember the way you made them feel. And that's huge to me. So if you can make them feel like they can accomplish anything and instill those life lessons in them, that's what you've done your job.
Yeah, because ultimately, like, sports is just a vehicle for life, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
life lessons.
We may get one that makes it to the league, you know, if we're lucky, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're all going to be professional in something.
Yes.
So it's got to translate.
Exactly.
All right, well... something that I'm highly aware of both you gentlemen is that y'all are both big family men. Mm-hmm. If you could, we'll start off with Conway first, man. He's going to have a long list, man. But tell me a little something about your wife and your children. I want you to be specific about each one of your kiddos.
Okay, so I have a I have a large blended family. Okay,
right.
I got a total of 6 kids. And each one of them are different. And I have one is my oldest one, Tristan. He is my one where I had him very young, but I wanted to make sure he had everything like an established family would have. And he is actually going to be a junior at McPherson College, and he plays football. He has a scholarship to play football there. I tell him he has to be the leader of his siblings. And then I have my oldest stepson, Jaden. He is a wide receiver at UTEP. And then I have one that's a junior. His name is Cameron. He is currently right now working to perfect his craft, get better at just life in general for him. he that's what he's trying to find his way of. And then my son, his name is Cameron. He is going to be a freshman at Klein, and he's my one that I have to be careful what I tell him because he'll do exactly what I tell him to do. So if I tell him he needs to do 1, 2, 3, but I really meant 1, 3, 4, I better make sure because he follows exactly what is told of him.
Blessing and a curse.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And then I have my long ranger, my daughter. She's the only girl out of 5 boys. She is my pistol. She's my one that can't be rough, tough dad. I have to be rough, tough princess dad with her. And then I have my newborn, Bryson. He is 4 months old, and I'm learning how to start all over because there's a big age.
Man, hey, you're going to be walking across that graduation stage with a cane or a walker or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So... And one of the things that, you know, like you said earlier, body by body. And that's one of the things that is our family brand. And it's about working hard and separating yourself via physically, mentally, whatever it is, how you carry yourself. That's what we stand for. And that's what our brand is about, is holding yourself where people, if they're going against you in a sport, like, man, you better bring your A game against him because he's not going to let off of you.
or hey, in the classroom, hey, he's gonna do the right thing. He's gonna be that one that the teacher be like, oh, you know what? I'm gonna call on him because I know he's gonna give me extra effort, or I know he's gonna set the right example. And that's one of the things that for
give me a little something about the matriarch, Mama Bear.
She's the ringleader.
Oh.
She's the one that, especially with, you know, if I'm not in the right mindset to tell them what I need to tell them, she's my one that are going to be like, hey, look, you know you were supposed to do this, or you were supposed to be doing this. She's my one that kind of preps them to have that tough conversation with me if it's something that they didn't do right or go about right. She is my setup one. She's like, hey, you know, he's told you this, he's told you that, though this. So go in there and be ready for your conversation to have with him. So she's my setup. She's my setup one.
Sounds like yin and yang, man. Yeah. Good team right there. Yeah. What about you, Petey?
Oh, I'm on the early start spectrum. it's me and my wife and my daughter. My wife, Lindsay, like him, she's the ringleader. She calls the shots, you know. But I think that's a good thing. She keeps me on the straight and narrow, keeps me out of trouble. My daughter, she's 5. Madison, she is a pistol. Wakes up every morning like she's already had 5 cups of coffee. She's ready to go. And she'll say, Daddy, yes, baby. Can we go on a bike ride? It's 7:00. Yeah, okay, let's go. All right, let's get it. So she has my passion for life as far as she wants to do everything and be around everyone. She's never met a stranger, which I think it will serve her well in life.
Yes.
You know, she just wants to be around everybody, and she is very set in what she is wants to do. She gets that from her mom. She's very, all right, I'm gonna do this. And we're going to go do it. And you're not going to stop me. And she gets that from mom, which will also serve her ball in life. But just like him, you know, she is my rock and my reason for doing everything. So every day I wake up, I thank God that I have my family and I have my little girl to keep me driving to be successful. All
right. Well, before we get out of here, y'all have any shout-outs or anyone that you'd like to throw a little love to before we get out of here?
I would like to throw a shout out to my seniors for Cypress Christian baseball that they worked their tail off to get to their senior year and not to have baseball. And for them to actually still stay positive and, you know, and be like, you know what, hey, it is what it is.
They were pretty good too, right?
Yes, they were very, very good. We had high hopes. We had 7 seniors, and all 7 of them are going to play college baseball.
That's pretty damn
That's
good.
That's pretty good, man. Yeah. That's pretty good.
So. Oh, man. What could have been? You could have been kissing that state championship ring.
Oh,
right,
and no, they would already had our name on it, because it was great. I mean, just to go off a little bit, just to tell you about these kids, little private school, maybe 400 kids total from K to 12. They were going out beating public schools, 6A, 5A public schools in baseball, and just to have that season taken away from them. But talked to them just the other day, and they're still, hey, it's all right, it's all good. We know we would have beat them, and we're ready to go off to school. Just a little shout out to my 2020 seniors.
All right, what about you, Petey?
Just my athletes, former or current, you know, just keep pushing to accomplish your goals, man. You know, I always say, if you ever need anything, just send me an email. I'm there. I always will be.
All right. Where can people meet you? What's your social media tags, handles, whatnot?
On Instagram, I'm just Kenneth Hepburn.
All right.
I'm on Twitter at _Waddies.
All right. I didn't give me a Twitter. I don't have one. not up to date on these new social medias.
Oh, man. Well, hey, thank y'all, everyone, for joining us on the Be Someone podcast. Super interesting conversation. I know I learned a ton. Hopefully, you learned a little something, too, guys. Y'all take care. Have a blessed day, and go out and be that someone.
a very special shout out to our sponsors, the Billiard Brothers. If you're looking for a pool table, looking for pool sticks, pool balls, pool cues, or anything of that nature, I'd like for y'all to look up the Billiard Brothers on Facebook, or you could find them on their website, www.thebilliardbrothers.com. And if you use the special promo code, the Be Someone Podcast, you will receive an additional 10% off your order. So look up my buddy, William White at the Billiard Brothers. Take care and have a blessed day, and go out and be that someone.
This is Blue July, and you're listening to the Be Someone Podcast. Lights looking bright, the H got the vibe. She's my name on the sign, it's my time to shine. When I was cruising 45 and it crossed my mind that I shine like the sun and that I'll be someone.
Lights, camera, session, use a flow molasses, blue to light my fashion. Future brightening glasses, applause from the masses.
This is the Be Someone Podcast.